ओम शांति। सो आवर टॉपिक दिस इवनिंग इज मेकिंग द माइंड पावरफुल। यू थिंक वी कैन डू दैट इन 45 मिनट्स? For quite some time, Baba was encouraging us in the Avyakt Muralis to become free from waste. You remember that? Make the mind free from waste thoughts. But we also know that whilst it's a wonderful stage to be free from waste thoughts, doesn't necessarily mean that the mind is powerful. But it kind of gives us a feeling that if we're free from waste, then there's that possibility to be able to create the kind of thoughts that will make the mind powerful. If the mind is still creating too many thoughts about this and that, and then there just isn't the space to create powerful thoughts. And today Baba was reminding us about the chart. And one chart that I've found quite useful for myself is checking the percentage of thoughts about the drama and thoughts beyond the drama. And I don't know about you, but the vast majority of thoughts are still about the drama. And we know from everything that Baba tells us is that he wants us to break the yoga's intellect away from the old world, and the old world is the drama, and connect the intellect's yoga with him, or beyond the drama. And whilst we know all of this in theory, it's still quite a challenge to actually let go of the old world, old relationships, old perspectives. And one thing that I came up with when thinking about this topic is that we still see the drama as important and valuable. And if we look at Baba's signals, Baba is constantly encouraging us by diminishing the importance of the drama. And he does that in many ways. He, first of all, repetition, right? He says that the drama repeats identically. Now, if you think about it, say you came home one day and there was a film on the television, and you watched that film, and you were absorbed by it and enchanted by it. But if that same film just kept repeating every time you walked into the room, it was the same film on the television, would you continue to be enchanted by it? Absolutely not. After a while, we wouldn't even look at the screen. There wouldn't even be the slightest interest in looking at the content, because it's the same old thing repeating. And so when Baba tells us that the drama repeats identically, he's also helping us to diminish the importance of the drama, because if the drama is reduced in importance, then clearly we're not going to be thinking about it that much. But Baba says other things about the drama as well. For example, he says that it's a mirage. Have any of you seen a mirage? In Africa, it's quite a common thing, especially in the deserts. I remember the first time I saw a mirage, and it was in Namibia, in the desert. And I would have staked my life that there was a lake on the horizon. And actually there was nothing there at all. It was a complete illusion. And we've heard stories about people who have actually lost their lives trying to reach the mirage that they see, trying to reach that cool, shimmering lake on the horizon. And so Baba tells us that the drama is a mirage. What else does he tell us about the drama that diminishes its importance? It's a dream. It's like a dream. Yeah. But he also says it's a graveyard. And he also says that everyone is already dead. So we hear these things, and whilst it is God speaking to us, and we accept that God is speaking the truth, there's another part of us that kind of just brushes over it, you know? And so, actually, there's no change in the way that we actually perceive the drama. And so therefore, the mind goes back constantly, back to the drama. And this is an obstacle in making the mind powerful. So, let's see really what is it that traps us so in thinking about the drama. One of the things is the ego. Now, Baba's last directions before he became Avyakt was become egoless, viceless, and incorporeal, right? So he didn't say become free from anger, viceless, and incorporeal. Or he didn't say become free from attachment, viceless, and incorporeal. He specifically said egoless. And I think what we can take from that is Baba highlighted it or underlined it that the ego is an obstacle for us. And we know that because it's all tied up with our misidentification. And this really brings us back to the first lesson. This whole question of who am I? The ego is what gives life to the identity of Belinda. We know that Belinda is a role. And there are many roles. And we have quite a sophisticated drama with all the characters that are there. So Belinda is one of 7 billion characters, or roles, as Baba calls them. And ego's full-time job is to make sure that Belinda is seen to be very important. And so ego has its job cut out for it, because it's an obsession that ego has with the role of Belinda, that Belinda should look good, Belinda should be accepted, Belinda should be recognized, Belinda should be safe. And if we really think about it, this is the grand delusion. Even to think that Belinda is becoming perfect is a grand illusion. Belinda is a role. And whilst the eternal being behind Belinda can use the role in a particular way, and Baba is teaching us how to do that, the reality is that the ego has created in a way, a huge illusion which blocks our ability to actually see the true self. I'm going to avoid using the word I and even the word soul, because I is still, if we say the word I, even I the soul, it still carries with it the flavor of Belinda. I, Belinda. And so if we look at what Baba has told us about the true self, the eternal self, the immortal self, and we can call that for the moment, let's refer to that as a being of light or a living star. What we know about the eternal self is that it is immortal. And the one who is immortal, just the first thing that comes to mind when you think of one who is immortal, who knows himself to be immortal, what is the result of that? Sorry? Fearlessness. Or we could say secure. Deeply, deeply secure. So, Baba has told us that the original self is immortal. And so, the original self is deeply secure. And one who is deeply secure has nothing to lose, ever. In fact, the one who is immortal can be quite adventurous. Do all sorts of things that one who thinks they are mortal would never do. Because there is that deep security behind immortality. Baba has also told us that the original self is egoless. And that has huge implications if we think about it. Egoless. One of the main experiences of the ego is insecurity, and that insecurity manifests itself as different forms of sorrow, and or we could say offense. Now, the ego is deeply insecure because at any moment Belinda can be insulted, Belinda can be disrespected, and the result of that is this offense that the ego takes. And as long as we are under the influence of the ego, our experience throughout the day is just like that. The ego is either experiencing feeling good because someone has praised you, or feeling bad because someone has disrespected or ignored you or whatever. So we have this huge contrast between the experience of the ego on one side, who is obsessed with this character, Belinda, and on the other side, Baba is telling us about the immortal self, the original self. And we can see that these are two extremely different worlds. Now, whilst we know in theory about the original self, our ability to actually experience that original self is hampered or it's reduced by the ego constantly giving life to something that is not real. Now, this is a huge challenge for us because we want the mind to become powerful, As long as ego is in charge, that's not going to happen. The ego will keep the mind as its own playground to make itself feel okay. Just think about it when someone says something to you. The mind immediately, and the ego takes the mind and positions it in such a way that the ego can feel okay. So the ego might say, well, that person doesn't really understand me, or they don't understand the situation. So ego will always be trying to position itself in a way that makes it feel secure. But Baba has also asked us to be Man above at the confluence age. And we translate that as belonging to God with the mind. And Baba made it clear on the 24th when he came that Baba needs this powerful mind, because he said to us that we have to be unshakable and immovable, and also the mind has to be such that our attitude is able to transform the attitudes of others. And so we have this information, this is what God is asking us to do, and we want to use the mind for God's task at the confluence age. And when we sit in yoga, we have some success. And sometimes when we are doing karma yoga, we have some success. But again and again, the ego takes over the mind. If we start to consciously separate Belinda, the character, who is driven by the ego, and the true self, the original self, and we start to see that both of these actually exist at this time, and that Belinda is not the one who's going to become perfect, but there is the immortal self, the eternal self, who is, as Baba tells us, equal to the Father. But there's something inside us that won't really accept that, or can't accept that we are equal to the Father. But Baba has given us the most valuable tool to ensure that actually we are able to see that this is really who we are. And it's a gift that he gives us. He tells us that whenever a Brahman child is born, that he gives this gift. And what is that gift? Divine intellect. Divine intellect. Now, do we say that God has a divine intellect? Do we say that? Baba has a divine intellect? Well, if we think about it, maybe he has a divine intellect, but we wouldn't really say it because Baba has never not had a divine intellect. Whereas we know that there are two intellects. There's Patta, stone intellect, and Paras, divine intellect. And our job is to activate this divine intellect of ours and make sure that we are seeing through the eyes of the divine intellect. Now they talk about, so many different philosophies talk about the third eye. And it's kind of a mystical thing. People don't really know what the third eye is. They talk about Shankara opening the third eye and distraction happens. But really it's only those who have Baba's knowledge that can fully understand what this divine intellect really is and what it's capable of. the divine intellect is able to see the huge contrast between the perspective of the ego and the divine perspective. Baba has divine perspective constantly. And we can hear it in his language. And Baba tells us, you are Sat Chit Anand. Truth, living, and blissful. How often do we experience that? For how long? Maybe glimpses, maybe moments. Baba reminds us in the Sakar Muralis every single day that he is talking to the soul. He's not talking to Belinda and the ego behind Belinda. He's talking to a completely different entity. The divine being. And so we need to find ways that can kind of sharpen this divine intellect. We need to really make it clear so that it's not just a concept that I'm a divine being, but really that the divine intellect or the third eye or the inner eye of knowledge actually sees that this is the truth. That this being is truly immortal. And that deep sense of security that comes with that enables us to slowly but surely see the ego clearly and consciously diminish it. You know, one practice that we do sometimes is called ego crunching, and it's very useful. And what we do is we just come into that consciousness of the eternal self and then look at the ego behind Belinda and name it, talk about it, and even laugh about it. And the amazing thing is, when you see it like that, the ego does shrink. And remember, the ego has such a huge task on its hands because Belinda is temporary. And this is not good news for the ego. Because that means the ego is temporary. That the ego is also going to die. And that's why we say that, you know, just when we conquer one Maya, Maya comes in a different form. And this is really the cleverness of the ego. The ego will find new ways to make Belinda look important and valuable and the center of the universe. And so it is only the divine intellect that is able to really step back and have the perspective of the full picture. Because when we see the whole picture, we see that really these are two very separate worlds. And the one world is constantly changing. It is governed by time and space, and it is absolutely temporary. And any character can be written out of the story just like that. We know it. In the next second, this roof can collapse, and Om Shanti, Belinda's gone. Ego doesn't like to hear that, but that's the truth. But what about the immortal self? It doesn't matter. Whether in this body or any other body, the immortal self is just that, immortal. And as this reality becomes more and more clear and more real, automatically the mind will let go of drama. And it's not going to happen overnight, but slowly but surely the percentage of thoughts around Belinda, Belinda's world, Belinda's stuff, all the things that occupy the mind, slowly but surely they reduce. Because then the eternal self becomes free. And that includes the mind. There is then space in the mind. And the natural thing is to think about what is real. For Baba, there's no question about what is real. We just listen to the Murali and we can hear about what Baba is thinking about. Baba does not give time and thought to what's happening in the drama. You might have noticed that when you want to solve some problem in the drama, even our daddies, when we ask for advice, what do? They take us out of the situation and they focus our mind and intellect on that which is eternal, that which is real. And so, I thought, what is the time now? Would you like to have a little practice just to see if we can use this divine intellect to see the contrast in these two worlds, and not just to see it. We use the word see, but what we actually mean is to feel what is real. So let's just have a few moments experimenting. So just put everything down and relax the body, but also keep the body alert. In this practice, concentration is valuable. So let's try to keep that inner concentration, because the divine intellect requires concentration. So the first thing that we become aware of is the drama. We are sitting in this room, all the different personalities, the roles, each with a different name. What we know about the drama is that it is unpredictable. We do try to see some order in the drama, but mostly this is coincidental. The drama is ever changing. Characters come and go, scenes change. There is comedy and tragedy. It is very convincing. But it is the ego that is convincing. The ego has a vested interest in the drama. But the divine intellect knows that when Baba says it is not worth a penny, that truly it is not worth a penny. On the other side, great contrast, we see the world of the living stars. This is God's world, world of truth and extreme beauty. What do we know about these divine beings? We know that they are all immortal. All are safe. No one is ever lost. No one ever dies. This is the world that Baba sees. Each one of these beings is egoless. Deeply secure. And each one is full. Full of virtues, of love, of respect. They do not know the word desire. They do not know sorrow or worry or disappointment. They do not think about God. They live with God. And they are loved by God unconditionally. The Father is the one who has always been free from the drama, has always seen what is true. Everything is good, and everyone is good. So these living stars, whether in their eternal world, or whether in the drama, their aim is to see what is real. That yes, the characters are there. but behind the character is the actor who is always complete, silent, and subtle, Om Shanti. So, not sure if anyone would like to say something or ask a question. Got a little time. The more we practice seeing the difference between the role and the angel or the living being, the more we're able to see the way Baba sees and understand the way Baba understands. And then automatically the mind changes. Then to think about the drama is like thinking about some novel that you read or some story. Thinking about it over and over again doesn't make sense, does it? So any thoughts? Could you feel the difference when we had the practice? Some nods. Births of breathing life into Belinda. That's what we've been doing. Making Belinda so, so important. And obviously 63 different costumes and different characters. But we bring those sanskars with us. And what I've noticed is that if one works with diminishing the ego as much as possible, to the same extent, the clarity of seeing what is real increases. There seems to be a natural connection between these two. So, if we notice on the days when the ego is having a party and, you know, really having being the sovereign, those are the days that we really struggle to feel the subtlety, to experience the original self. But diminish the ego, and the true self, the experience of the true self, kind of blossoms and comes up. Yes, Wendy. Yes, I can. So the question is, whenever there's a death, like the character leaves the body, is that the death of that ego, or is it carried through in the sanskars? Just off the top of my head, I would say that the sanskar of the ego is carried forward. But during one lifetime, things can happen that reduce the ego. For example, I don't know if you've met someone with, let's say, a severe disability in this life. What I've noticed is that those people tend to be naturally humble and very appreciative of life. Have you noticed that? So it is that sometimes in one birth things happen, or perhaps we even are born with certain disabilities, and I'm just using a disability as an example. But in that birth, the ego seems to be diminished, and there's a true sense of humility. Or something else can happen. I'm thinking of in South Africa, we have Nelson Mandela, who went into prison, a very angry human being, and came out of prison extremely humble and a completely transformed human being. And interesting thing about his experience, one of the things, is that he lost his identity. For 28 years, he was called 67. So he just had a number. They didn't refer to him by name. And so there are many things, and we read amazing stories about people's transformation, like Viktor Frankl, how when everything is stripped away, the ego is dropped, and the quality that shines out is their humility, and people have a lot of love for people who are humble. It's a natural thing. It was seen with Mahatma Gandhi as well, and others in the world. So sorry, got a bit sidetracked. That's my thought. You had another question, Wendy? Well, it's something you can experiment with by yourself, which is quite useful, but it's especially useful if you do it in a small group with people that you are comfortable with. And you just talk about Belinda as a third person. Belinda is like this. Belinda thinks she's clever. Belinda likes to be listened to. Belinda is whatever. And it has an amazing effect on crunching that ego. So you can experiment with that. So 1 minute, if anybody else has a question. Otherwise, we'll start our yoga bhati.